Hello, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. It's Friday. It's March 11th. And we're getting ready for the off-season. Not getting ready for it. We're in the off-season of the NFL. Heck, today's the deadline for the CBA to either extend it or come to an agreement or time for a lockout. News coming this afternoon. I think the deadline is like 5 p.m. I imagine that's Eastern time. I don't know for sure, but it'll be interesting a couple hours from now to see what happens, whether they'll just extend it again. The word on the street is things were not very good between the NFL and the NFLPA. A little bickering yesterday going on. We will see. The big news is that lately the pro day circuit has been going on. The Packers were in attendance at Wisconsin's pro day. Both general manager Ted Thompson and head coach Mike McCarthy. I was there in Madison. It was quite interesting. I mean, Wisconsin's pro day was probably almost as big as anybody's in the nation this year, just because of how much talent is there at Wisconsin in this year's draft class. You've got a pair of first-rounders and Gabe Kareemi and J.J. Watt. You've got a bunch of second-day prospects, maybe not a bunch, but John Moffitt, offensive lineman John Moffitt, and Lance Kendricks, tight end Lance Kendricks. Those guys should go in round 2-3 at the latest. And then you've got a couple guys who are going to go in the late rounds, probably quarterback Scott Tolzien, maybe running back John Clay. You have another guy who was invited to the NFL Combine in cornerback Niles Brinkley. So, you know, they feel as if he's one of the top 300-plus players to go in the draft. And then you've got some fringe guys who are working out during the pro day. One guy who I think is going to sign a contract in the NFL is offensive lineman Bill Nagy. I believe he was an all-conference performer in the Big Ten, if I'm correct. Not first team all-Big Ten, but he was on the team somewhere. And a good player, solid player. Somebody will give him a chance. And there was a bunch of other guys on display, too. You know, a linebacker, Blake Sorensen. He might get a shot somewhere. They got a couple small, quick wide receivers at Wisconsin. Isaac Anderson, David Gilreath. Fast, but very small. But pro days are also, you know, for other professional leagues. The Canadian Football League, the Arena League, the UFL now. So, lots of opportunities for this guy, for these guys other than the NFL. So, the Packers were on hand to check all that action out. If you haven't read our coverage already on Cheesehead TV, check it out after the show. Lots going on there. Pretty interesting when Gabe Kareemi came out and said that the Packers would have to probably trade up to get him in the draft. A lot of people are saying he's arrogant just reading the comments from that story. I didn't really get that from Kareemi. I don't think he's arrogant. I think he's confident in himself, in his abilities. And more than likely, he's just probably right. If the Packers did want him, they would probably have to trade up to get him. I don't see him lasting to number 32. And also a little interesting, the head coach, Mike McCarthy, spoke with quarterback Scott Tolzien on the side after the workout. Of course, you know, head coach Mike McCarthy is known for his development of quarterbacks in the NFL, so to see him talk one-on-one with Scott Tolzien was perhaps a little telling, you know, not to say that the Packers are going to draft Tolzien, but that there's, you know, interest in him, at least. I didn't see Mike McCarthy have any one-on-one conversations with any other players there. So, you know, there's interest, at least, in, you know, just doing their due diligence, checking out a player who, you know, I think Scott Tolzien is going to be drafted in the NFL. He's going to be a late-round draft choice. But I do see a lot of similarities between him and a guy like Matt Flynn. I mean, they're not going to wow you with their abilities, their skills. You know, they're just solid, solid players. Winners. You know, Tolzien taking the Badgers to the Rose Bowl. Matt Flynn winning a national championship at LSU. They just know how to get it done. And they're fairly accurate. Which you know, kind of makes up for a lack of arm strength. Had even read an article from, I believe, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel over at JS Online, their blog, their Packers blog. I believe he actually went and talked to Bears offensive coordinator Mike Martz, who spent a little bit of time looking at Tolzien at Wisconsin's Pro Day. And Martz had said, and there's a quote, like, Tolzien has a better arm than some guys in the NFL. So, I mean, he thinks he he has the arm to be there. And, you know, Scott Tolzien just, he really is a winner. If you go back and there's this, you know, they did this story on ESPN this year, this feature about Tolzien helping out this little youngster, you know, who probably, you know, he's got some sort of condition, some sort of, I don't know if it's a disease or what, but, you know, it was a lot like the Aaron Rodgers Make-A-Wish when he was, you know, hanging out with that little girl at training camp this past year. I wish I could recall more details. They're a little fuzzy, but same thing with Tolzien. He really, you know, got a little, made a connection with this kid and, just a really good guy. Smart, too. Very smart. David points out on our live blog, Tolzien's completion percentage was 70+, I think. I think it was. His senior year, Scott Tolzien completed about 70% of his passes. That's amazing. 70%. 70% in college. I mean, not even the elite pros complete 70%, a lot of them, and here he is in college. Well, I mean, that's part of the reason Scott Tolzien won the Johnny Unitas Award for the nation's top senior quarterback. The guy's legit. He may not be first-round material, but he is legit. It would not surprise me to see Scott Tolzien become a starter in the NFL eventually, after he, you know, gets some work in a weight room and learns some system and learns the ground rules of the NFL. Will come in time. Again, a lot like Matt Flynn, too. I mean, Matt Flynn's been backing up Aaron Rodgers for these past 3 years, going on four, and it looks like, you know, Matt Flynn's going to get a chance to start somewhere, sometime. May not come this upcoming year yet, but sometime, somewhere. We will see as time goes on. I haven't even mentioned it yet. At the bottom of the hour, our guest on Railbird Central will be Villanova tackle Ben Ijulana. Ben Ijulana is a fringe first-round prospect, an offensive lineman, most likely a tackle, some out there saying a guard, but really excited to talk to him. Small school guy, Villanova, the FCS division of Division I football, what's formerly known as 1AA, but one of the most successful 1AA programs in the nation, though. I believe they were in the FCS championship game this year, or maybe it was the semis. I can't remember off the top of my head. Well, I have to ask Ben, but yeah, it's going to be exciting to talk to him. He really, it's possible he is going to be a pick of the Green Bay Packers if they want an offensive lineman at number 32. Yeah, I, of course, you know, as we all know, Packers go for best player available. I don't know if he's the best player available at number 32, but I think a lot of people would say he'll be there at that choice, and he won't go any later than the second round. He might not be a first-round guy, but, you know, my feeling is Ben Aijalon is not going to last to the third. So, interesting. And probably gone by the time the Packers pick in the second round. So, it'll be interesting to talk to him. Really good prospect. Bottom of the hour, 8:30 Central Time, Lambeau time, here on Cheesehead TV. So, let's get to the news of the day. Today's Packers Daily Links. If you want to scroll up to the top of the live blog, I've provided a link to today's Packers Daily Links. Looks a little something like this. Yesterday, the Packers announced the dates of their tailgate tour, going to work its way across Wisconsin and even upper Michigan this year. If you click this link, it'll take you to Packer Report, a little article about from Bill Huber talking about it. He writes, quote, "The tour will make stops in Marquette, Michigan on May 10th, Ashland on May 11th, Eau Claire on May 12th, Wausau on May 13th, and Green Bay on May 14th, with evening tailgate parties held in each city to support a local nonprofit organization." Unquote. Now I know Alex Talich from the Packers Lounge lives near Eau Claire. Did you grow up near there, Alex? You gonna go? You gonna represent Cheesehead TV there? I've been to the tailgate tour in the past. They actually came to Beaver Dam, right here where I live, a couple years ago. Wasn't this past year? Was it 2 years ago? But it's a nice little thing they do. If I'm correct, they only used to make 4 stops. This year they're making 5. Could be in response to the lack of this year they're not doing the Fan Fest. Of course, they don't do the draft anymore, with it being moved over the course of 3 days and starting on a Thursday night. So I think maybe they extended it a little bit this year in response to that. I bet the Packers are a little bit annoyed that they're not doing a Fan Fest this year, in hindsight. I'm sure they're comfortable with their decision. But I bet after the Super Bowl win, they're wishing they were doing a Fan Fest this year. They kind of announced there was a little bit of declining attendance. They thought, you know, maybe this isn't something we'll do every year. Instead, maybe we'll do this every other year to keep interest a little bit higher in Fan Fest. So, you know, of course, the time they made this decision was during the season, and they couldn't have predicted the Packers would have won the Super Bowl at that time. But, coming off a Super Bowl victory, I'm betting the attendance would have been quite high at Fan Fest this year. So maybe this tailgate tour, an extra day, is in a little bit of response to making up for that. And it looks like for the first time, they'll have Packers alumni on the tour, which is cool. I think the last time I went, which would have been 2 years ago when they made the stop in Beaver Dam, Jordy Nelson was a guest on the tour, Nick Collins, and Chad Clifton, if I'm correct. No, maybe not Clifton. Brady Papinga was. Clifton was part of the tour last year, I think. And, of course, Packers president Mark Murphy. But that was it for, you know, front office personnel and players, and it looks like this year there will be some alumni as well. So, something to look forward to, at least. Jamie asked on the live blog, no Ohio dates? Yeah, I think this is the first time they might be going to the upper Michigan. Well, maybe they've been to Menominee before, I don't know. But not every year they even go to the UP. So, but yeah, not any further than that. I would have a hard time even seeing them going to Chicago, even though it's close, you know, right on the Wisconsin border almost. They'd probably be jeered a little bit by Bears fans down there. But it's a nice thing that the Packers do. So look for that in May. You know, May, it's kind of a dead time after the draft when not a lot else is going on. So it's a nice little thing that, there's not, a little news coming out of the Packers universe at that time of year. So the tailgate tour provides a little bit, which is nice. So elsewhere in Packers news today, This was coming out of the Wisconsin Pro Day. Tom Silverstein wrote a little blog post, and he had a chance to ask Mike McCarthy about the inside linebacker situation. If you click this little link here that says Nick Barnett, will take you to JS Online. And basically, you know, Silverstein asked McCarthy whether A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop would be the starting inside linebackers next season. And what did he ask him? I believe Tom Silverstein asked Mike McCarthy if A.J. Hawk would be a third, three-down player next year, meaning he'll play on first, second, and third downs. You know, prior to Nick Barnett being injured, A.J. Hawk was kind of a first and second down guy. A lot of times he came out in nickel situations. And McCarthy responded here, quote, "I hope so. That's up to the players. If he plays the way he did this year, there's no reason he shouldn't be a three-down player. Bishop played very well, too. We line up tomorrow. It's AJ and Bishop. And that's the way we finished." So, you know, reading between the lines here, and it doesn't take a whole lot to read between the lines in that quote, Nick Barnett is not going to get the first crack at a starting job this year. Nick Barnett could be a candidate to trade, a very, very likely candidate for a trade, in my opinion. You know, with things like when a team cuts a player in the NFL, when a team cuts a player, they get nothing in return, no compensation. So, you know, Nick Barnett has a high salary, so I don't think anybody is going to give a high round draft choice for Nick Barnett. It's simply not going to happen. But he is a starting caliber inside linebacker in the NFL. I mean, that's very valuable. He could step in and start for a team and has played very well in the past. Yes, he does have an injury history, which teams will be wary of and concerned about, but he is a starter and can play very good. So I think you can get a mid-round draft choice for him. And the Packers, I believe, would take even a low-round draft choice because, I mean, if it's going to come down to that or cutting him, you take the low-rounder, you take compensation. And I don't think it'll come to a low-rounder, like a seventh. I mean, somebody out there is going to be willing to pay, you know, a fourth, fifth for Nick Barnett for a guy who's going to be a starter. They will part with that. Now, if you're the Packers, you just got to hope the CBA gets completed before the draft. I mean, because, you know, as we've talked about before on the show, you can't trade players until a CBA is done. So if this thing lingers past the draft, I mean, you're looking at compensation in 2012, not 2011. And that's certainly not what the Packers want to do. If somebody gives them a nice, you know, thing in return for Nick Barnett, you know, that I think they'd take it, and they would take a mid-rounder. So, you know, maybe they could even get up to a third. That would certainly be ideal, I think. The ideal situation, they get a third in return for a starter, a guy who, you know, still conceivably Nick Barnett, even though he has an injury history and he's not a spring chicken anymore, he's still got a few years left in him, a few very productive years. So if you're the Packers, that's what you want. And I think if you're Nick Barnett, if you're not going to be a starter, that's, you want to go somewhere where you are yet. You know, what certainly hasn't helped Nick Barnett is his outspokenness, sometimes to a fault. You know, this whole thing prior to the Super Bowl about players not being part of the team picture and just being so outspoken about that, And again, I think most people agreed with Nick Barnett that they should be part of the picture. But I mean, just the extent that this whole thing was taken to and blown up, I mean, kind of was a result of Nick Barnett and JerMichael Finley. And perhaps maybe they needed to make a big deal out of it in order to be part of the picture. But, you know, again, ridiculous that they weren't in the first place. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, that kind of blew up in the Packers' face a little bit. Just something that they shouldn't have had to deal with prior to the Super Bowl. And, you know, there was that bar scuffle couple years ago. I mean, we're talking, what, 3-4 years ago now that, you know, it wasn't a fight, but he got in a verbal sparring with, you know, I believe it was a female patron of a tavern in Appleton or something like that. And, you know, just things like that have popped up with Nick Barnett and be like, you know, this, is it worth it? Nothing. Nick Barnett has not been in trouble with the law or anything like that, so it's not like he's a bad apple, but just his outspokenness, I think, has turned some people off. So it just that hasn't helped Nick Barnett in the whole, you know, this who's going to be the starters. You know, he doesn't look like he's going to be the incumbent. He's going to be start out with the second string and only become a starter if there would be an injury. So, that's the deal there. And kind of interesting how that has all played out for the Packers. Talking more about the CBA here, going back to today's Packers Daily Links, the third story down today is about the CBA negotiations. And Packers president Mark Murphy was part of the negotiations yesterday, traveled all the way to Washington, D.C. to take part in them. If you click this link, it'll take you an article by the Associated Press, provided by the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. And the writer Howard Fendrick writes, quote, "With the two sides far apart on key economic issues, 9 of 10 members of the Owners' Labor Committee joined NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell at the office of the federal mediator overseeing the negotiations, but the union complained none of the owners met with any of the players on hand." So 9 of the 10 members of the Owners' Labor Committee, one of those 10, or one of the 9 who are present, was Mark Murphy. As we said earlier, the deadline is today at 5 p.m. You know, there's a couple options that can happen for the Packers. The NFL, of which the Packers are a part, but they may choose to extend the deadline again. I'm less likely to think that will happen now, given the disagreements that happened yesterday. These, you know, verbal jabs that the NFL and the players' union have taken against each other yesterday. These complaints and retorts that have been made. You know, they say there will only be an extension if progress is being made. I'm not sure after yesterday any progress is being made. You know, I'm tending to think that it's lockout time at the end of the day. If, you know, that's my prediction. It's lockout time at the end of the day. Now, could there be some sort of breakthrough today with this deadline looming? The both sides saying, oh, wow, we've got egg on our face, and now we better make big strides. or else, I suppose. It's possible they come to another extension. It's possible they come to an agreement. I don't see an agreement happening today. That seems to be like the least likely scenario. I think lockout is the most likely. I think extending the deadline is a the second most likely, and agreement is the third most likely option. So that's where I'm at right now. So I believe a comment was even made here by the players. Was it Mike Neal and Brian Bulaga were talking to each other on Twitter, and Mike Neal had commented on Brian Bulaga's status, or asked him, it's the last day you can lift weights at the facility or something, isn't it? So the Packers look like they would be closing the facility unless, again, there's some sort of extension or an agreement. So that's how it's going to impact the players immediately. And, of course, going forward, you know, they may not have, you know, access to the facilities for things like OTAs, off-season workouts, mini camp, things like that. So these are all things to look at going forward here. Taking a look at the live blog on Cheesehead TV, catching up with some of the comments here. David comments, the deadline to decertify is 5 p.m. Eastern time. The CBA ends at midnight. Okay, so the CBA technically ends midnight Eastern time, but if the union wants to decertify, they have to do it by 5 p.m. Wow, these next couple hours will be interesting. Other comments. John Rahor says, quote, it's lockout time. The words no football fan wants to hear. Think it's inevitable, though. Packers Lounge says, they extend it. I'll put my money there. Interesting. Interesting to see what's going to happen. And this is all going to play out literally over the course of, what time is it? It's 8:30. You know, that basically leaves about 8 hours, you know, over the course of the next 8 hours, how much information is going to leak over the course of this time period about what's going to happen. You know, just, I'd be remiss here if I didn't even mention the events that happened in Japan overnight here early in the morning. The earthquake that has triggered tsunamis there that I guess have even reached Hawaii and possibly will reach the west coast of the USA and in North America for that matter. But, you know, that will be news too over the course of these next hours. So, of course, I'm on Twitter a lot, so I'm expecting to read lots of updates about both just filling my Twitter stream over the, you know, again, over the course here of the next several hours, the rest of this Friday afternoon. David says, so if there is a lockout, will all the Lambeau employees be out of a job too? I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that the Packers will lay anyone off or make them take a furlough or anything of that matter. Packers Lounge says Scott Walker made that earthquake. And that's big news, too, going on here in Wisconsin. The labor battle, the fight going on in the Wisconsin Senate and Assembly. So, yes, interesting times in this world. Lots of newsworthy events. Hey, folks, it's almost 8:30. I'm going to take a break here because I've got to get Ben Igelana of Villanova on the line. So, stick with me here. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hey, this is Corey Hall, fullback for the Packers. You're listening to Railbird Central.
Welcome back to Railbird Central. Unfortunately, I have no one on the line with me. I was told Ben Igelana would be in the middle of a workout and he would be taking a break. I think he's lifting weights or something like that. I've left his phone number. I've left my phone number for him to call us if he does get a chance. So I'm hopeful it will happen yet, and maybe we'll give him one more shot at a phone call here before the end of the show. So we will see. I know he's busy trying to prepare for a career in the NFL. We will try him back, and hopefully we will get Ben Igelana of Villanova on the line eventually sometime this hour. So we will see. Hopefully we'll get Ben on because I attended the press conference for Ben Igelana at the NFL Combine, and he is a very engaging person, very engaging personality, and I know he would be a good interview and a good person to talk to, so hopefully that will take place. For the meantime here, for a couple minutes, let's continue to talk Green Bay Packers. We got a couple other stories to talk about that are making the headlines. A lot of things that are still in the news, on the blogs, in the Packers blogosphere, are are still from the Wisconsin Pro Day that the Packers attended on Wednesday, now 2 days ago. So, you know, it's a couple days old, but I'm still thinking, you know, still news, still on the top of people's minds, if you will. One of the stories coming out is the talent that the Badgers had on display just on the offensive line alone. A blog post from Tom Silverstein again. Tom Silverstein was there and just putting out a ton of information from the Badger Pro Day, and he wrote about both Gabe Creamy and John Moffitt. And if you click this link about Wisconsin's Pro Day, it'll take you again to JS Online. And Mr. Silverstein writes, quote, "The Badgers are an offensive line factory, and they've got a couple of good ones, an offensive tackle Gabe Creamy and offensive guard center John Moffitt. Creamy could be around when the Bears pick 29th overall, and Moffitt will be available later." The Packers, both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy, were watching both Moffitt and Creamy when they were working out. And, of course, their less heralded compatriot, Bill Nagy, was working out with them as well in the offensive line position drills. So, again, you know, it's debatable whether the Packers would even have a chance to draft Gabe Creamy. John Moffitt is really, I think, will be a very good pro player at guard or center in the NFL. I think he's really got better pro potential than Gabe Creamy, if you ask me. One of the things that I see that are one of the knocks on John Moffitt is that he isn't fast enough to get out and pull, things like that. We have a phone call here, and I'm hoping this is Ben Igelana. We will see. Hello, this is Railbird Central live on air. Is this Ben?
Yeah, this is Ben.
Hi, Ben. You're live on air. Thank you so much for calling in. As I understand, you're in the middle of a workout, so I know you're busy. Is that correct?
Yeah, sorry about the call.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it. And anyway, just getting right into it here in the interview, I know you suffered an injury, a sports hernia that required surgery and forced you to miss both the Senior Bowl and the workout portion of the NFL Combine. Can you tell us a little bit about the injury, how it came up, and how you're recovering, Ben?
All right, we'll do. Basically, somewhere around November or so, early November, I suffered a bilateral sports hernia tear. I just, you know, I had two tears in my pelvis. I played about a game or two on it, and then I got shot up and finished the rest of the season. Unfortunately, we didn't make it to the championship again. We came shy in the semis. And then I had surgery late December 28th, and just been healing up ever since. After about 3 weeks to a month, the surgery won't undo itself, and then after about 8 weeks, which was last week, you can go back to full activity. So, you know, now I'm hitting things full gear again, ready for my pro day.
When is your pro day?
April 6th.
That's pretty late. I mean, is that because it's giving you a lot of time to recover, or was that the date the university had set all along?
It it got pushed back 3 weeks or so. When I was at the combine, when speaking with teams, it was just kind of like, will you be ready 2 weeks from now, you know, from the current date of that combine? So, you know, they called some of my coaches. We ran them by the other guys working out, and everybody agreed it would be nice to have a pushback. If not, it would have been March 16th, this upcoming Wednesday. But it got pushed back 3 weeks.
Very good. I imagine one perception you have to overcome is convincing teams you're an elite player despite not coming from an elite powerhouse university at Villanova. How do you prove that to teams that you are this elite player despite not playing elite competition?
You know, I hope they see that through film my play's consistent and I'll still be able to compete and not rise up to my level of competition. I'll still be able to compete and, you know, do what I've done at this level, at the next level. And, you know, some inferences you get is that you're a big fish in a little pond, but upon entering the middle of my freshman year, I was a little fish. You know, I mean, there was some growing, and I still feel like I'm continuing to grow as a player.
I noticed one elite player you did play against at Villanova was Temple's Muhammad Wilkerson. How did that go against him, and how good is he?
Oh, he's good. He's definitely hard to move. Luckily enough, I caught him without the sports hernia, so it was our first game of the season, so we had a nice little battle going on. Last year, he played more interior, but, you know, September 3rd or whenever we played Temple, it turns out he was lined up against me, so he's a great player. In fact, I went out with him. But...
Oh, okay. We're talking with Ben Igelana of the University of Villanova. But Ben, at 6'3", you're shorter than a lot of the top other offensive line prospects in this draft, yet you've got very long 36-inch arms. Does that convince teams you can play tackle and not guard in the NFL?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, it depends which teams, which personnel you're looking at, but the arms definitely did me a huge favor. It helps eliminate some of the height, 6'3.5". But, you know, I still got the feet that I come with to work every day, and the NFL is changing. It's not even about getting bigger. I feel like defensive ends aren't getting taller. You know, some of the premier pass rushers are 6'2", and they get under a guy who's 6'8", so I'm just lower to the ground. I'm ready to compete.
Yeah, well, that brings up a good point. You used to wrestle. Can you tell us about how that might have helped in getting things like leverage as an offensive lineman?
I think that's huge. Now, in the long run, back then, I just did it to stay in shape in the winter, but thinking about the two sports, like wrestling, you get tired incredibly fast. It's like grappling, just putting your hands on somebody, and then correlating it with playing offensive line. I mean, I put my hands on people. The low man wins, you're fighting pressure, pressing against somebody, just keeping your feet moving, because in wrestling, if you stop, you're dead. In football, if you stop, you're dead, especially playing line play. So it's key. I advise any young people with just...
What are you hearing about where you'll be selected in draft? Are you confident you could go in the first round possibly?
I mean, I'm one of those guys as far as all it takes is one team. And I mean, yeah, I just want to play in the NFL, but it'd be nice to get drafted as high as possible. So, you know, come the 28th, I believe, I'll be sitting down with my fingers crossed, just hoping. But, you know, wherever I get picked up, I'm just going to hit the ground running.
Finally here, because this is a Wisconsin-based talk show, I know you've talked a lot to a lot of scouts, a lot of teams, but being in Wisconsin, I think our fans want to know, have you interviewed with the Packers or talked to them at some point throughout this process?
Title town. When I was at the combine, I met with the Packers, yeah.
Very good, Ben.
Coach Campen? Offensive line, if that's his name, I believe so.
Yes, Coach Campen is the offensive line coach for the Packers. Ben, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We'll let you get back to working out here. If by chance you happen to get drafted by the Packers, we'd love to talk to you again.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Ben Igelana of the University of Villanova, calling back in. Look at that. Guy going to be possibly as high as a first-round draft choice in the NFL and decides to call back in to Railbird Central. That's awesome. So We wish him the best of luck. And there you go, folks. Has talked to offensive line coach James Campen. He even remembered the name. That's almost impressive. These guys are interviewed by almost every team in the NFL. I mean, especially guys who are going to go in the first couple rounds. I mean, for him to be able to recall the offensive line coach's name for the Packers when he's heard from probably every offensive line coach in the entire NFL. You know, I know how I am with names. I meet a guy and, you know, you just shake hands with somebody you're introduced to for the first time, and 10 seconds later you forget that person's name, especially when you might be at a social occasion when you're meeting a lot of people all at the same time. So that's awesome. And, good luck to Ben Igelana. What I really find interesting about him that we talked about here, I mean, he's 6'3 and a half, and he has 36-inch arms. Look it up those are long arms. That's about as long as they get. And especially they get that long when you're talking about guys who are 6'6", 6'7". But for him to be 6'3 and a half and have 36-inch arms, that's long. I mean, we all know here in Wisconsin how much arm length, you know, supposedly means, or how much it means from Brian Bulaga. Of course, the knock on him last year was that he had short arms for offensive tackle. But, he became the youngest player to ever start in a Super Bowl and played well in this Super Bowl against Lamar Woodley of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we all know how much that can play. But I just still think that it's... He's just Ben Igelana, almost a freak of nature with those long arms for at 6'3 and a half. So, I think he can be very good in the NFL. I don't want to call him a freak of nature. That's perhaps a little mean, but he does look like an impressive specimen. So we will say that, and good luck to him. With that, I will open up the phone lines here at... Cheesehead TV at Railbird Central. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to call in and talk Packers, talk about the draft, talk about Ben Igelana, talk about anything you want to talk about, feel free to call into the show, and we will talk in, and we will talk and talk Green Bay Packers and labor negotiations, CBA, whether there will be a lockout by the end of the day or not, anything you want to talk about for the rest of the show. So feel free to call in or leave your comments on the live blog. Of course, if you want to use Twitter, please use the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, and your comments will get through. Other pro day news. The Packers, over the past couple days, I provided a link in the live blog to both links from Brigham Young University and Colorado State. It looks like the Packers had scouts at those locations the past couple days. I mean, we're really getting to the heart of the pro day circuit. Every day there is at least five universities right now having their workouts in front of scouts and coaches and general managers and decision makers. Doesn't happen so much on the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, they kind of take off. Every once in a while, you'll see a pro day workout on a Saturday. But for the most part, it happens during the week. Wisconsin's being Wednesday, but I mean, there were other big ones this week. Of course, Auburn got a lot of attention earlier this week when Cam Newton was on display. Other prospects, other schools having their workouts this week. I know Oklahoma was having theirs. Oklahoma, surprisingly, it's kind of a rare year when Oklahoma doesn't have any top-tier prospects. They probably don't even have a first-round draft choice on their team this year. when most years they do. But anyhow, Oklahoma, some intriguing, you know, second day guys that could be going would be safety Quinton Carter. Could be the top safety in the of all safeties in this year's draft class. And outside linebacker Jeremy Beal. Of course, the Packers kind of have a need at outside linebacker, a perceived need at least. They don't have an elite guy. You know, they might not even have a starting average quality guy opposite Clay Matthews. You know, they've got guys. You know, it's just a question of whether they are starting quality or not. You've got guys like Frank Zombo and Eric Walden and Brad Jones, who have all played good from time to time, but have yet to be really consistent and put a solid string of games together. So, a lot of people think that the Packers will address the outside linebacker position at some point in the draft. And Jeremy Beal is kind of a mid-round guy. I had read somewhere his testing hasn't been all that good, either at the NFL Combine or the NFL, his pro day, which was just, I think, on Wednesday, the same day of Wisconsin, if I'm correct. Or was it yesterday, perhaps, on Thursday? I know it was this week and it's done already. But, you know, apparently Jeremy Beal does not test very well. He doesn't have a fast 40, the shuttle times, things like that. But I read from a writer somewhere just saying that this guy's a player, that it's not going to, you know, show up on the stopwatches and the measuring sticks. But when you put pads on him, he's a player. And, you know, continuing to talk about pro days, I guess thinking back here, I haven't mentioned this yet, John Clay. John Clay has gotten so much negative attention for his slow 40 time at the NFL Combine that, you know, people are, the talk is they're shying away from him. But, you know, again, the other argument can be made that, you know, who does a 40 time when it's time to put on the pads and cross the lines onto the field? You know, he has attributes that cannot be measured. He has intangibles that toughness. Toughness is a question, might be with John Clay, but you know, his ability to be powerful, at least, is one of his strengths, and that isn't showing up in a 40 time or his vertical or his 3-cone drill or 20-yard shuttle or anything like that. So, John Clay, what was interesting? I can't believe this. I really can't. John Clay said, and I quote, he's lost over 35 pounds, which, you know, good on him. I think a lot of people thought he was overweight at Wisconsin. But over 35 pounds in 5 weeks, that is almost inconceivable. I realize that that's possible for a person to do, but he weighed in at the combine, I think at 230, or was it 231? It was, you know, right around that. And you know, add 230, add 35 pounds onto that. What is that? That's 265, right? Was John Clay at one point 265 pounds? Is that possible? Is that right? 265 pounds? I know he was heavy. But was he that heavy? Man. I mean, that to me, you know, raises a red flag. Did you allow yourself to get to 265 pounds? Or more? That is unbelievable. I mean, and good on him for trying to lose weight, and he's obviously lost a lot. I think it was, I was reading the article from Don Banks of Sports Illustrated saying, in the, which is interesting, here John Clay has taken all this time and effort to take off this weight, you know, to come in at 230 at the combine, and he told me 233 at the pro day, so he's put on a little bit of weight since then even. And now he's going, once the draft happens, he's going to put this weight back on and play closer to 250. I think that's what Don Banks wrote for Sports Illustrated, if I'm correct. You know, doesn't this seem counterintuitive? He loses all this weight to, I assume, run a faster 40 time than he would at 250, even though it wasn't that great at 230. But anyway, you know, to lose it just for a 40 and then put it back on when you're in the NFL, because that plays to his strengths. That just doesn't make sense to me. It's weird to me. John Rahor comments, if he did, he wasn't thinking for the future, namely the draft. No, that's been the comment. That's been the knock here, as I've said several times, on John Clay for a while, that his work ethic isn't there. You know, he's allowed himself to weigh more than he should at Wisconsin. Packers launches, hey, that's plagiarism. Oh, I've been accused of plagiarism. Not necessarily accused, questioned that our Cheesehead TV NFL draft guide is going to be plagiarized. It's quite ridiculous. If you read our announcement, if you read the comments of our Cheesehead TV draft guide announcement on our homepage at Cheesehead TV, from a commenter who's questioning if we're going to plagiarize. Ridiculous. I literally have been I've been insulted. I can't imagine why they think we would plagiarize. That would never cross my mind. I mean, that's certainly, I take other people's ideas, I take other people's opinions, but I attribute them, I quote them. That's not plagiarism. That's attribution. Oh, it's ridiculous. But I'm so excited for the Cheesehead TV draft guide. We've set the date, April 7th. It's scheduled to come out, which I believe is exactly 3 weeks before the draft. Exactly 3 weeks. So it'll be sent out on that day, and you'll have 3 weeks to check it out. And it's going to be something that you're going to want to check out even after the draft. Because, you know, once the Packers get these guys, get their new draft class, you're going to want to read up on them a little bit more. So that will be interesting to see, but so excited for it. We've got, you know, it's right now it's over 60 pages, and I got a feeling that by when it's all done, it's going to be over 70 pages perhaps. So, you know, just everybody's, all these writers and contributors have spent so much of their time for a guarantee of no money, no profit from this venture at all. No guarantee. Hopefully we'll make a little money. We are selling it for the low, low price of $5, which we think is very fair for this publication. Very fair, bordering on cheap. So we're excited about that. But just everybody, all our writers, Max Ginsburg, Al Bracco, Paul Guillemette, Tony Wilson, Andrew Garda, and our design expert joining us this morning, Alex Talich, who's just doing a fantastic bang-up job on laying out the draft guide. Everybody will be excited for it, and hope you all pre-order it. And Kyle Cousineau, yes, he was the winner of our free copy of the draft guide, predicting that J.J. Watt would be on the cover of our publication. So, you know, I'm going to have to tweet J.J. Watt a link to it and show him it's on the cover. Because J.J. Watt, of course, is on Twitter a ton. And he would respond to something like that. Hopefully he'll see that he's on the cover of our publication and maybe give it a shout-out, perhaps. That'll be interesting. So, anyhow, it is 9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. It was great having Ben Igelana on today. Hopefully, I'm going to try to set up a couple other draft prospects to interview on the show here on Railbird Central as well over the course of the next month or so in preparation for the draft. So a lot of fun today. Everybody, have a good weekend. Hey, the Badgers play tonight, Wisconsin basketball in the Big Ten tournament. So check that out this evening. That should be fun to watch as well. And hey, see you later, everyone. Have a good weekend.